Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I want to encourage you to check out my store, store.greatdetectives.net, where you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks. Well, now it's time for our final episode of The New Adventures of Michael Shane. This one is The Case of the Purloined Corpse.
I spun around, and it was Death with a long stick that whipped me across the face. Again and again, it crashed on my head, on my eyes, across my mouth. The strength leaked out of me, and I tripped headlong into a merry-go-round of huge black horses. Then I heard the door of the tomb slowly swinging shut.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Purloined Corpse.
You're Mr. Shane, aren't you? The private detective?
I guess you must have had that all figured out when you walked in here. Why the gun?
He told me I'd need one. He told me with a man like you, it was the only way.
Why, whatever gave him that idea?
He said that was the only way I could persuade you to come with me.
He must be quite a boy. Which head was he talking out of?
I don't like your humor, Mr. Shane. I didn't come here to be entertained.
Sure, shall we go?
You mean you'll come with me? Just like that?
Uh-huh. Wherever you go, dollface. Only I hate
no,
to be hurried.
Don't.
Yeah, I don't like a little thing like a gun to stand between us. Now we can be cozy.
You're very quick, aren't you?
Yeah, the girls call me Swifty. Now let's play all over again. Where are we going? Who's he? And what does he want?
Josiah DeLacy. And he wants you.
Josiah? You mean that mummy with $50 million?
Mr. DeLacy and I are not that friendly. I only take care of him, not his bank balance.
Hey, you can have your gun back. Josiah was right. You'll have to persuade me. Seems to me I remember hearing Josiah DeLacy hasn't got a dollar without a bloodstain on it.
He's in desperate trouble, Mr. Shane.
Well, take a message back to him, dollface. Tell him I'll make my usual contribution to his home for homeless girls and then tell him I dropped dead.
You don't understand. He's a very lonely and unhappy man. He needs your help. That's why he sent me.
Every morning, the population in New Orleans turns breathlessly to the obituary column, hoping to find Josiah DeLacy's name there. What makes you think I'm different?
Because your reputation says you can be bought. Mr. DeLacy will double your asking price.
Well, you convince good, Miss,
West. Catherine West.
Jady, huh?
If you want it like that.
Well, maybe later, Katie. Every minute I waste now costs me double time. What's on your boss's mind?
Mr. DeLacy's son, Ezekiel, has been missing since yesterday.
Why doesn't Josiah go to the Bureau of Missing Persons? They work for free.
Because Ezekiel is dead.
Huh?
Not only that, Mr. Shane. Ezekiel has been buried for a week.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Purloined Corpse.
I was scraping time off my hands with a fingernail file when Katie West walked into my office. She was wearing an emerald green dress and a bright nickel revolver. On her, it looked like she'd just broken out of a sultan's dream. She told me Ezekiel DeLacy, son of Josiah DeLacy, had been kidnapped. But something silly had been added. Ezekiel had been dead for a week. And in the cab on our way to the DeLacy mansion on Royal Street, she didn't quit surprising me.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I got a feeling about you, Katie, and it doesn't quite gel. Where do you fit in? How'd you latch on to DeLacy?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Mr. DeLacy hired me a week ago. He had an idea he needed a nurse.
How old does a man have to be to stop getting ideas?
Look, I'm no Florence Nightingale, Mr. Shane. I'm a common laborer just like you. I breathe better when I'm around $50 million.
Yeah, I can inhale it from here.
You can stop right here, driver.
Here you are, son. Go buy yourself an annuity. The DeLacy mansion was one big shadow, not quite a mile wide. It could have housed an assembly line where they turned pixies into ghosts. We rode up to the solarium on one of those staircase elevators. The top floor, we faced a wall of transparent glass. Through it, I could see a dried-up, tiny little man with a head like an ivory mask. Only it was carved with so many lines and wrinkles, it could have been an ivory prune. His body was wrapped in a heavy towel-like robe, and around his throat there were more towels. Through the glass roof and glass walls, a false light crashed in. The whole apartment was swimming in it. The figure of Josiah DeLacy sat in the middle like a grotesque plant swaying in an undersea world. Katie pushed a button, and the heavy glass door whished open, and I went in.
Shh! Shut the door! Shut the door!
What'd you expect me to do, seep in through the glass?
The slightest drop in temperature, the merest fraction of a drop, lessens my lifespan by a year.
Why don't you light up a furnace and live in that?
I thrive on heat. It's my food and drink. Every particle of heat is like a fountain of youth to me. I soak it up. Soak it up. You're sane, aren't you?
Yeah, Miss West said you needed me.
I do. You disgust me, Mr. Shane.
What?
You might as well know that now, but I need your help.
Well, let's everybody stop yelling help and tell me what this is all about.
The body of my son Ezekiel was stolen from the family tomb in Cypress Grove Cemetery. You wouldn't understand what a desecration that is of our name, of our pride.
And of your son.
He must be returned. He must be!
Well, now, don't shout, Joe. I haven't got him. Why would anyone want him anyhow? Was Ezekiel buried with the family loot?
Fool! If that were so, would they send me this ransom note?
Yeah, let's see it. $50,000. Bring the ransom money to the cemetery at 2:30 in the morning on... Well, it's this morning. Look, my advice is...
No one asked for your advice. Here's $20,000. Take it to the tomb and pretend to leave. But you will watch and apprehend the criminals and bring them to me.
Well, how do you know you can trust me with all this money?
I don't. But if you should be so stupid as to run off with it, I assure you there's always room for one more in Cypress Grove Cemetery.
I do believe you have a point there, Joe. Just as a matter of curiosity, how old was your son?
He was 70.
And you outlived him. Maybe he didn't understand about this heat thing. Well, I'll see what I can do to bring him back. It's a matter of pride. Phew. Boy.
How'd you make out?
Oh, keen. Just keen. I wheedled $20,000 out of Joe. Cover charge for my date with a zombie at Cypress Grove Cemetery.
$20,000? Mike, you'll be careful, won't you?
I'll try to be keen. I'll try. In this business, you got other people's trouble. You can never tell whose side you're on when you get your trouble secondhand. At 1:30, I had enough of the all-night movies, so I walked over to Canal Street and hopped a streetcar marked Cemeteries. I went to the back of the car, took the packet of money DeLacy had given me, and removed a sizable portion of it. I marked the bills with a pencil and put them back in my coat pocket.
Cypress Grove. Cypress Grove.
I got off the car and entered the cemetery. Just to the right and back of a Chinese mausoleum, I found what I was looking for. The door to the tomb was open. I went in. The coffin stood gaping and empty and disappointed. I kneeled to put the ransom money on the marble floor, and then I heard it. The sound of a cane or a thin club whooshing through the air. I spun around. It was Death with a long stick that whipped me full across the face. Again and again, it crashed on my head, on my eyes, across my mouth. The strength leaked out of me, and I tripped headlong into a merry-go-round of huge black horses. Then I heard the door of the tomb slowly swinging shut.
Michael.
Oh.
Come on, try, Michael. Try.
How'd you get here?
I followed you. I frightened them away when they heard me coming.
Did you see who they were?
No, it was too dark.
You're a dodger. Yeah, no, the ransom's gone. All right, get me out of here before you really have to bury me. She was strong, that girl. Strong enough to get me up and out of there and back to my apartment. She kissed me goodnight with a smile, and then she went away. It was a million years later when the noise got inside of me and kept growing and growing until I was one big noise all over. Yeah.
Mr. Shane.
I don't know. Some days it's very hard to tell. Very hard.
This is Miss Cleo Dauphine of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls. Can you come down here right away?
You want a testimonial? I think homeless girls are the best because they're...
Mr. Shane, this concerns murder. Murder and Ezekiel DeLacy.
When I got to the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls, I was amazed at the frivolity of the building. It was like a charming and graceful old French lady doing a discreet version of a can-can. From somewhere within the house, a music box was playing an old tune. I crossed a courtyard and entered the building. 60 or 70 years ago, a ladylike girl had a dream of what her home would look like. This was it. Standing in the middle of the room was a distinguished-looking woman dressed in black and carrying a cane.
Mr. Shane?
I bow.
I'm Cleo Dauphine.
It's an honor, Miss Cleo.
Oh.
Lovely place you have here.
Well, thank you. We think so.
It's so quiet. Are the guests at work or at play?
Guests? Oh, would you care to meet them?
Oh, if it's not too much trouble.
Oh, not at all. Penelope? Penelope?
Yes, Cleo?
Mr. Shane is here. He'd like to meet you.
I do want to see that young man.
Penelope, this is Michael Shane.
Oh, how nice.
How do you do, ma'am?
Mr. Shane wanted to meet the inmates of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Girls. This is my sister Penelope, Mr. Shane.
We are the girls.
You mean just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed, Miss Dauphine. I couldn't be more delighted.
Oh, you may leave now, Penelope.
Must I, Cleo?
Yes.
Oh, you have all the fun. Please come again, Mr. Shane. It's rare that we have gentlemen calling on us.
Well, that's their misfortune.
Oh, Cleo, he makes me feel all fluttery, as if there were a little bird beating its wings against my heart.
Really, Penelope?
Goodbye, Mr. Shane.
Bye. If I were 40 years older, I think I could feel the little bird, too.
Many young gentlemen did.
Miss Dauphine, on the phone you said something about a murder in Ezekiel DeLacy. May we talk about that?
Mr. Shane, Ezekiel DeLacy is not dead.
Shall I go out and come back in again? The smell of old roses does something to my hearing.
No, you heard me correctly. The body that was laid to rest in the DeLacy mausoleum was not Ezekiel's.
Then whose was it?
Would you care to see? Please follow me. You'll find this most interesting.
She led me upstairs and into a darkened chapel-like room. There was a pungent odor of incense. A huge Spanish candelabra stood in the four corners and cast a ghostly, wavering light over a body that lay on a raised platform. It was the body of a man who had accepted death much against his will. You didn't have to be a detective to see the reason why. Right in the middle of his forehead was a neat little hole. Neat, like in bullet.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the purloined corpse.
The whole thing was just about as easy to hang on to as a handful of smoke. There was a girl in it named Katie who could light candles in your brain. There was also Josiah DeLacy, an old man who might have told me some big lies. His son Ezekiel had been dead for a week. I was hired to find out what made the body lively enough to disappear from Cypress Grove Cemetery. And then there was Miss Cleo Dauphine and her sister Penelope of the Josiah DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls. And scattered somewhere in between meeting all these gay people was a beating I took in Ezekiel's tomb. And finally, looking very unhappy about the whole thing, was a dead man with a bullet hole in his forehead.
Mr. Shane, I insist that this is the man who was buried in Cypress Grove.
And you also say he's not Ezekiel DeLacy?
Precisely.
Well, the way I heard it, Miss Cleo, is that Josiah buried his son and seems willing to part with a hunk of cash just to see that Ezekiel enjoys a cool and untroubled rest.
I detest quibbling, Mr. Shane. I knew Ezekiel very well as anybody did.
Yeah. Well, now don't surprise me too much, Miss Cleo, but tell me gently. Is Ezekiel alive?
I saw him at the funeral.
Well, and who do you think this body belonged to when it was breathing?
I'd be very glad to tell you, Mr. Shane. The murdered man you see lying there is...
Here, Shane. Drink this.
Where am I? Ooh.
You're at police headquarters, Shane, and the offer of this drink lasts 5 seconds. After that, it gets donated back to the police department, namely me.
You're so good to me, Lefevre.
You're not hurt, Shane. Just a scratch.
Well, can't fool you, can we? Did you find the body?
We found Cleo Dauphine.
Yeah, I figured you would. Why else would you be an inspector? Only I'm talking about the murdered body.
Cleo Dauphine was dead. Shot 4 times. No weapon in evidence. We may not be as smart as you, Shane, but we call that a murdered body. What do you call it?
I'm talking about the one that was stolen from the tomb.
Look, maybe you're hurt worse than I thought. The department don't expect us to know more in first aid. But my brother-in-law is a nifty psychiatrist.
Oh, forget it. What about Penelope?
Which Penelope?
Cleo's sister. Wasn't she there?
What were you doing down there anyway? What possible interest could you have in the DeLacy Sanctuary for Homeless Girls, huh?
Just social work. I feel everyone should do his bit.
Well, you're a real cute Irishman, aren't you, Shane? Don't you want to keep your license nice and green? Could dry up and blow away if you keep breathing hot lies on it.
Now, don't crowd me, Lefevre. I got an idea I can hand this thing to you all prettied up with a ribbon around it.
But try real hard, huh? If you don't, it'll break my heart. Maybe yours, too.
When I got out of there, the fog had rolled in from the Gulf, gathered up some fresh water mist out of Lake Pontchartrain, then clumped down Market Street as heavy and definite as an elephant's foot. All of which made it a lovely evening for a walk. Now, maybe walking had helped me add up a few answers I'd missed. But then one answer drove up in a pretty blue convertible.
Mike? Hey, Mike.
Well, a bright ray of sunshine in an otherwise drab day.
Get in, Mike.
Sure. Honest Joe DeLacy fix you up with this hot rod?
Mike, what's happened to you? You just vanished. I've been looking every place for you.
Glad you were, doll child. I want to check a few things with you. Now, look, when you came to my office, you told me Ezekiel DeLacy had been dead for a week. You sure of that?
Of course I'm sure. Ezekiel DeLacy died a day before his father hired me as a private nurse.
But you don't really know if he was dead or not.
I saw Ezekiel buried, Mike. I attended the funeral with his father, Josiah.
Well, how many other people saw him?
Mr. DeLacy and I were the only ones at the funeral. You know how much people hate that family.
Well, then you never saw Ezekiel except as a corpse.
Well, no, how could I?
Don't let it worry you, Katie.
But I do worry, Mike.
Oh.
I do. About you, Mike.
Why, Katie, you're talking about the man I love. Hey, why are we stopping?
We're out of gas. Come here.
What can I do? Why, Katie, you wouldn't want me to walk home, would you? After a while, after the fog went back to where it came from, Katie drove me to my apartment. I gave her back the same kind of look she gave me, whatever kind that was, bitter of fond and painful farewell. Walking down the hall to my room, I couldn't quite make out whether the after image of her perfume still stuck with me or whether one of the other tenants was going on a binge of old roses. It didn't really start worrying me until I saw a light slanting through the bottom of the door.
Oh, Mr. Shane.
Miss Penelope, how'd you get in here?
Oh, just like they do in the movies, Mr. Shane. I told the clerk I was your sister. It seems to work every time.
I'm delighted.
Oh, this is so exciting. Cleo will be furious when she finds out I've been talking to you alone.
Cleo, but...
But I'm sure there are some things you'd like to know. Just ask me.
Yeah. Tell me about yourself, Miss Penelope, and about your sister, Miss Cleo.
Oh, there's nothing to tell about me. But Cleo, now, her story is so exciting and romantic and sad, like a novel. Well,
tell me about it.
I promise you won't tell Cleo.
I promise.
Well, 50 years ago, Cleo was hired by Josiah De Lacy as a nurse companion. Then one day he found her in the garden with his son, Ezekiel. Oh, there, I've said it.
I blush.
Yes, Josiah found her in the garden with his son Ezekiel, alone. You see, it was Josiah and Cleo who were in love.
Well, what did Josiah do?
As punishment, he built the home and called it a sanctuary for homeless girls, and he forced Cleo and me to live there.
Did you know Josiah?
Oh, yes, I often visited him and Cleo.
How long has it been since you've seen him?
I haven't set eyes on him from the day he put us in the house until...
Until the funeral.
Until the funeral. We found a hiding place and we watched. Oh, Mr. Shane, what have you made me say? Oh, Cleo will be very angry when she finds out what I've told you.
She won't find out, Miss Penelope.
I'd better be leaving now, Mr. Shane. I don't want Cleo to find me alone with a gentleman in his room. But it was courtly of you to understand. And, Mr. Shane...
Yes?
Do be careful. I'm afraid for you, Mr. Shane.
There was only one place left to go after that, so I went. Katie answered my knock and let me in. She looked swooningly at me, but I wasn't in the mood. I told her to wait for me outside in the car. As I approached the glass wall of the solarium, I could see Josiah sitting there exactly as he'd sat the first time I saw him. I took a last gasp of air, opened the door.
Shh.
Josiah screamed.
You blundering, stupid idiot! Get out of here!
I'm taking a poll, Mr. DeLacy. Where do you think your son Ezekiel is?
I hired you to find out.
But I failed. I failed miserably.
Exactly. Now get out of here.
But I couldn't live with myself without knowing.
Poison is always a good way out, Shane. Or you could jump right from here. I could enjoy that.
And your homeless girl, Cleo Dauphine, she's been murdered. Did you know that?
Serves her right. She always liked to meddle.
Yeah, and whoever killed her tried to murder me. That's twice on the same case. I'm Irish and superstitious and scared. The third time might take. Now, where is your son Ezekiel, Mr. De Lacy?
What makes you think I know?
That gun you just took out of your pocket helps me know. Could be the same one that killed Cleo before she could tell me whose body was in her house.
It is the same gun, Shane.
Well, who'd you get to pull the trigger for, you nurse?
I told you, heat gives me strength. It's quite warm in here now.
Yeah, even I can feel it.
I loathe your glib tongue. I loathe everything about you.
Now, don't exert yourself, Pappy.
Believe me, it will take no exertion to kill you. Do you want to know where Ezekiel is? I'll tell you.
No, I'll tell you. You're Ezekiel, aren't you? You killed your old man. And it was Cleo who sent you that ransom note.
Yes, Cleo or Penelope. They were the only ones who could have possibly known that it was my father who was buried, and not I.
Only you figured that out too late, after you hired me. So you shot Cleo while I was talking to her.
I'll outlive all of you.
Oh, 1,000 wouldn't even get you one on that, Zeke.
Yes. Yes, I killed Cleo. And now I'll kill you, Shane.
Now take it easy. This won't look good on your record.
Take it!
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
The bullets that pierced the glass punched two holes in the old man's body. They did another thing. They set up a vibration that collapsed the wall of the solarium. And standing outside with a very gentle smile and a very harsh revolver was Penelope Dauphine. I got her out of there fast, down to Katie's car. When I told Katie what had happened, she sat there and stared, her vision of $50 million ripped apart by all those jagged edges.
Are you sure Ezekiel's dead, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sure, Dauphine. He's quite dead.
I followed you here. I told you it would be better if you had someone to take care of you.
Ah, the hot blood of youth, Miss Penelope. I apologize.
And I'm glad you found out that he was really Ezekiel. I was listening. I couldn't have told you that, Mr. Shane. I gave Cleo my word of honor I wouldn't tell anybody that.
Then maybe you wouldn't mind telling me why Ezekiel killed his father.
Because because he hated him. He thought Josiah would never die. Ezekiel wanted his inheritance. He was getting very impatient, I imagine, and you know what?
What?
I wrote the ransom note. Oh, it was so exciting. Cleo doesn't know about that. But I didn't want the money. I only did it to hurt Ezekiel.
You don't look the type, Miss Penelope.
Oh, Cleo was still in love with Josiah. That's why we brought his body to our nice house, and I put him in our own vault. That's why those policemen couldn't find it.
Maybe we better tell them, though.
Yes, if you say so. And now I'd like to go home, Mr. Shane.
Sure, wherever you say.
But why does Miss West look so unhappy? She can get another job.
Yeah, she probably will. Now, don't take it so hard, Katie.
I can't believe it. All that money just waiting to be plucked. I thought this would be the one time...
Why, whatever is she talking about?
Well, this nurse companion racket might pay off another time, dollface.
Do I hear an offer?
How about dinner at Galatoire's private dining room, huh? That is, if you lend me $20, your late boss forgot to pay me.
Oh, I'd be glad to lend it to you, Mr. Shane.
I guess it can be arranged. Here you are, Mike.
Thanks. Now, let's turn on the dashlight for a second. Oh, Katie, you foolish girl.
What's the matter?
Yes, is something wrong, Mr. Shane?
Never try to pass a marked bill, Katie, especially to the fellow who marked it.
You marked it?
Mm-hmm. Right before you tried to brain me in the cemetery. Now you'll have to have dinner at police headquarters with no marguerite sauce.
Why, you dirty
double-crossing... And after all the trouble I had getting reservations at Galatoire's. Will you join me, Miss Penelope?
Of all the low-down contemptible...
Why, I'd be delighted, Mr. Shane.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, a fun mystery to wrap it up, and a nice twist at the end. The idea of an old man having to keep things warm isn't... No, it's something that probably was taken right out of The Big Sleep. Although the old man in that was a lot nicer. Overall, I enjoyed the series. I do know the mysteries weren't always the greatest, but there are certainly some great hard-boiled characters in it, and I love Jack Webb as Inspector Lefevre. It's kind of a different side to his acting that you don't usually hear, even though he's still got the tough guy edge. Well, I said that's the end of the New Adventures of Michael Shane. That's just the syndicated series. ABC would have another go at Michael Shane, and we will share with you the one episode that's in circulation from that series next week. And then join us tomorrow for another episode of The Private Files of Rex Saunders. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.